The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
It's one of WA's most baffling cold cases. 11-year-old Jared Ross vanished in broad daylight on a sunny October day in 1997. He disappeared while on a family holiday in Rockingham. His body was found in bushland in Carnup 2 weeks after his disappearance. For more than two decades, the mystery of Jared's murder has baffled WA and devastated his family. Our next guest has dedicated years to trying to find out what happened and turned her investigation into a documentary, which you can find on thewest.com.au right now. Joining me now is investigative journalist Kristen Shorten. Good morning, Kristen.
Hi.
And so has there been a new update in this long-running investigation?
Yeah, there has. So there has been an update. What I would say is that there's actually always a lot going on in this investigation. It's just that most of it's not publicly known. But what we can now report as we approach the 24th anniversary of Jared's abduction and murder is that detectives from the Special Crime Squad have actually been performing a series of raids in recent months on the homes and vehicles of suspects across metropolitan Perth. Now, we know that there are about 1,300 people linked to Jared's disappearance. So that's 1,300 suspects or people nominated as persons of interest. And very little is known about the suspects in this case. But there is obviously a primary group of core suspects who detectives are focused on. And I would say that, yes, the homes and properties of some of those suspects have really come under scrutiny recently.
Yeah, and so this idea of the crime squad doing raids, is that a sort of a dramatic escalation of where the investigation has been at over this past two decades or so?
I think so. Look, there have been multiple cold case reviews over the last couple of decades. There was one in 2014, and then this current review started in late 2018. So it's been going on for a number of years now, and obviously that's a really long process and a long slog for all of those working on this task force or Operation Footlight, as it's now codenamed. And, you know, that reinvestigation of Jared's murder, that involves a lot of different aspects of policing, obviously going through all of the forensic exhibits and retesting those for any scientific breakthroughs with the advancement of DNA since the last review. Obviously going over all of the suspects again with a fine-tooth comb, all of the new leads and information that's come in, and I guess just going through all of the boxes of, material, and I guess a lot of it's digitized now, just all of the files and all of the material that's come in over the years. These raids, though, yes, it does very much feel like an escalation in police activity. And like I said, over the last few years, there has been a lot going on behind the scenes, and that involves also detectives door knocking, in the Rockingham area, revisiting witnesses, revisiting suspects, conducting interviews again, re-interviewing people. But yeah, this does definitely feel like a dramatic escalation.
And what do we know about these raids in particular? Do we know whereabouts these homes and properties were? Has anyone specifically been named?
No one's specifically been named. And, detectives working on the case and senior police remain very tight-lipped about who the suspects are, exactly how many there are, where they live, and all of those sorts of details. But what they have confirmed is that there have been dozens of raids or search warrants executed across the metropolitan Perth area. They have told me that these raids were not conducted up in Newman in the Pilbara, where Jared was living at the time of his abduction and murder. So they are focused on suspects who live in the Perth metropolitan area, but that's as much detail as they were willing to drill down into.
It's interesting to think of what you could possibly find after 24 years. Do you have any idea of what they might have been looking for? Were they excavating things or digging around in people's sheds?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right. Like, you've touched on something very critical there, in that the searches that are being conducted 24 years after Jared's abduction and murder, very different to the types of searches that would be conducted in the days following his disappearance. You know, if someone's abducted and they're searching suspects' houses in the immediate aftermath, they'd be looking for things like blood traces. They might be doing luminol testing and, you know, focus very much on collecting fibre evidence and that sort of thing. But now, 24 years on, it's a different type of search. They'd be using different methods and different techniques. And the primary item that they're looking for is Jared's missing navy blue Yankees baseball cap. It's the one item that he is known to have been wearing when he was abducted that has never been located. So his fully clothed body was found in the Karnak Pine Plantation 2 weeks after he was abducted. He still even had his shoes and socks on, the money in an envelope in his back pocket that his mum had given him when he'd set out that morning to go to the comic shop to buy a comic book. But the one item that was missing was this navy blue Yankees baseball cap. And that is the one item that detectives remain desperate to find that could still hold DNA evidence and could still yield a significant breakthrough in this case.
Surely that'd be the one piece of evidence that the perpetrator would get rid of. It's amazing
to think that
it could still be out there.
Yeah, that's right. Look, you would think they got rid of it, and maybe they did, but what is known about offenders who commit these sorts of crimes is that sometimes they do keep trophies. So that baseball cap could have been kept as a trophy or, you know, it could have been disposed of if they were smart.
And now let's take a couple of steps back. And can you give us an idea of why you decided to look into this case in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. I hadn't actually been to Perth when I started covering this case. The way that I came across it was because I was a reporter for the Courier Mail on the Sunshine Coast, where Daniel Morcombe had lived and his family had lived at the time. So I had been covering the Daniel Morcombe case when I was based on the Sunshine Coast, and they had actually alerted me to Jared's case due to a quite disturbing similarity there were actually many similarities between the two cases and the two boys, Jared Ross and Daniel Morcombe, but the one that had caught the Morcombes' attention and which they had made me aware of was that a person of interest in Daniel Morcombe's murder had also been identified as a person of interest in Jared Ross's case. So that's what initially sparked my interest in the case, and I did start reporting on it sporadically from a distance. But then once I came to Perth and finally had the opportunity when filming The Boy in the Blue Cap in 2019 to interview detectives at the Special Crime Division, and also had the privilege of flying to Scotland and interviewing Jared's family, I'd say that that's when I really got a better understanding of the case and now feel very invested in seeing it brought to a resolution.
And I don't think it's a stretch to say that outside of police circles, there's no one who knows more about this case than you. So in the light of these recent raids, are you confident that we're getting closer to catching Jared's killer?
I'm very confident that the case will be resolved, but I think what it comes down to is, you know, the forensic side of things. So the developments in forensic science, you know, I think that if there had been a match, I don't think it's a stretch to say that someone would have been charged by now. Like, I think that, you know, the forensic side of things is probably what's holding police back in this investigation, and that's not based on anything they've told me. I think that's just, you know, through observation, and it seems fairly obvious that if there was a forensic match, they would have been able to charge someone by now. So I think that, you know, with the developments in DNA technology and forensic science, that eventually they will get a breakthrough. It's quite possible that they've already had contact with Jared's killer. They've could have already interviewed them as a suspect. They could already be in jail for another crime. I think that whoever's committed this offence and murdered this young boy has just been lucky to get away with it. They committed this crime at a time when, you know, CCTV cameras weren't prevalent. you know, they have just been so fortunate in that there were no eyewitnesses on Kent Street at Rockingham the morning that they abducted Jared. No one saw this offender dump Jared's body in the Carnut Pine Plantation. And they've obviously been smart about it in that they've kept it to themselves. Mm. No confessions. They obviously haven't shared it. So I think that hopefully with advancements in forensic science, it will be solved. But I think that the police are really doing it's very easy to be critical of the police and think, well, you know, you haven't solved this yet, you know, why is that, why haven't you been able to solve it, or you know, you're not doing enough. But I think that's not the case here. I think that this investigation is an incredibly complex and frustrating one for police, and reinvestigating it is a long, hard slog. I think they're working through all of the material they've got very methodically and meticulously. They just haven't been able to you know, make that forensic link at this stage.
And have you stayed in touch with Jared's parents? I'm curious to know if you've had any contact with them since the documentary, and maybe since the news is breaking about these raids and the development of the case.
Yeah, I have stayed in touch with Jared's family. I primarily stay in touch actually with his siblings, so Beth and Malcolm, who, you know, were staying with him at that rented holiday home in Rockingham at the time of his abduction. His younger twin siblings hadn't been born at that stage. So, you know, I definitely have had contact over the last few years with his family. But, you know, I also know that they're in regular contact with WA police, and that, you know, they're aware of this story, and that, you know, that's something that WA police had kept them in the loop about.
Mm. And of course, anyone with information on Jared's abduction and murder is urged to contact Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000. The state government increased the reward to $1 million last year for any information that leads to a conviction. Investigative journalist Kristen Shorten, thanks so much for your time today, and thanks for all your hard work on this story. It's a very important one. Thanks for being on The West Live.
Thank you so much for having me.